From the WGXE Newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Friends of St. Patrick's Church are continuing the effort to reopen the historic Catskill Church. The 134-year-old St. Patrick's, located on Bridge Street, was closed in 2016 by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Albany. The Friends, a group of 25 parishioners, have appealed the diocese's decision, but that appeal was denied by the Vatican's Congregation of the Clergy in 2018. Deborah Johnson, the co-chair of Friends of St. Patrick Church, said, and I quote, "We recently heard that our appeal is expected to be heard by the Collegium of Cardinals, but that the promoter of justice, Father Johannes DeWitt, has also written that the financial situation of the parish is very bad, and it's demonstrated that the parish at the moment cannot afford to keep the church," end quote. Republican Greene County legislator Matthew Lavera of Catskill wrote to Albany Catholic Diocese Bishop Edward Schaffenberger in 2017, asking that the diocese allow the community more time to raise the needed funds to repair the church. Anthony Petriani, co-chair of the Friends group, believes there is still hope of overturning the diocese's decision. He said, and I quote, "They didn't follow protocol when they closed the church. They should have let the congregation know. It should have been up to the people," end quote. Petriani said parishioners were in the midst of a capital campaign when St. Patrick's was closed. The Friends will continue to fundraise while the appeal is pending. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Bill Mahoney is reporting for Politico New York. As most of New York minor parties are fighting to maintain fusion voting, the Green Party is urging the Public Campaign Financing Commission to end the practice. Electoral fusion is the practice of allowing two or more political parties on a ballot to list the same candidate, pooling the candidate's votes. New York's working families and conservative parties have filed lawsuits to stop the commission from even considering the plan. New York co-chair Peter Lavina said, and I quote, "The Green Party has always maintained that political parties should run candidates on their own lines. Candidates should run on party platforms, not the cross-endorsement game that we see, which is often a horse-trading patronage game that the working families, conservative, and independence parties tend to play," end quote. Unlike every other well-established party in New York, the candidates the Green Party supports run on just one ballot line. But the party's official status makes it easier for candidates to occasionally steal the line. Enrolled members can force a primary by collecting the signatures of only 5% of the party's members in a district. In 2016, Republican State Senator George Amador defeated Democrat Sarah Nicoli in the Green Party primary after the party enrollment in Hunter suddenly increased. The town's members backed Amador 39-0. Read the full story at Politico New York. Carl Campanile is reporting for the New York Post. The number of New York State residents with health insurance has increased for the eighth consecutive year, defying a national trend, according to new census data. The portion of the state's population without medical coverage last year was 5.4%, down from 5.7% in 2017. The number of uninsured New Yorkers dropped by just over 1 million. The uninsured rate is now half what it was in 2013, the year before the Affordable Care Act went into effect. Nationally, the uninsured rate rose to 8.9% in 2018, up from 8.7% the previous year. New York was one of the most aggressive states in leveraging federal funds to increase the number of residents eligible for public health insurance programs. In his analysis of the data, Bill Hammond of the Albany-based fiscally conservative think tank Empire Center for Public Policy said, and I quote, "Current trends suggest the state could achieve universal coverage through relatively modest expansions of its existing efforts," end quote. New York had the ninth lowest rate of uninsured residents and was one of 15 states with a declining uninsured rate and one of only three that dropped significantly, according to the Empire analysis. Read the full story in the New York Post. David Lombardo is reporting for the Times Union. Legislation signed into law September 12th creates new food guidelines for preventing and responding to allergic reactions by extending protections already in place at schools to early child programs. Child care providers will now be required to provide staff training and have preventive measures and prepared emergency responses in place, adhering to procedures created by the State Department of Health, pediatricians, and allergy specialists. Assemblymember Al Taylor, the Manhattan Democrat who sponsored the legislation, said, and I quote, "No family should live in fear that their child will suffer an allergic attack with no one on hand capable of treating it," end quote. Milk, egg, peanuts, tree nuts, soy, wheat, fish, and shellfish cause the majority of food allergy reactions, according to Food Allergy Research and Education. Passage of the legislation followed the death of 3-year-old Elijah Silvera, who was fed a grilled cheese sandwich at his daycare despite having a dairy allergy. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.